Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Socratic Cinema Podcast, the only show where four teenagers desperately try to sound smart. My name is James DeLicio.
I'm Charlie Heatherly.
I'm Casey Clark.
And I'm Hallie Phillips.
And the original plan for today was to record an episode talking about Star Wars 9, Rise of Skywalker, dumb name, and then record an episode about The Mandalorian in review, our third time touching The Mandalorian. We recorded the Star Wars episode. It was really good. And then I deleted it on accident, and we can't get it back. So we're bringing you today the Star Wars Christmas New Year's special from Socratic Cinema, our Christmas present to you. We're going to talk about both The Mandalorian and Star Wars Rise of Skywalker in one amazing episode. Let's start with The Mandalorian, gentlemen.
And ladies.
And come on.
Gentlemen. We're all gentlemen here. We're all gentlemen here.
I'm a gentleman and a
so,
scholar.
So, the series is over now.
Yeah. You're correct,
Hallie,
in saying that.
Yes.
What in review, tell us how you feel about The Mandalorian.
As a whole?
As a whole.
As a whole. I think I enjoyed The Mandalorian. I think I was a little worried. I was a little worried, definitely, throughout the middle of it. Mm-hmm. The finale definitely set up the second season very well.
Yes.
I think episode 9 for me plateaued, and I think some of the end of the season episodes just leveled out for me. The concepts were really cool. I just feel like the push wasn't there.
Yeah.
For me in the end. But I think it was set up nicely, and I'm excited for what's going to happen.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Casey?
I agree with Hallie. It was really good, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, but the, last few episodes kind of just
felt flat.
Like, it peaked too early.
Yeah.
And then, because we had, that great episode with the farmers, mm-hmm. and then it really never came back from that.
Right.
So, yeah. But overall, I liked it.
Charlie? Yeah. Charlie, what do you think?
I sort of disagree with you guys. I think that it plateaued for two episodes, and then it went back up in quality. And those two episodes were the jailbreak episode and the Tatooine episode.
Yeah, five and six.
Both of which were not bad. They were still good. But I feel like the final two-parter, 7 and 8, was just really, really clean and solid, and it meshed well together, and I think that they did some really interesting things that we haven't really seen in Star Wars. They nailed comedy for the first time.
Oh, you know why? Okay. You know why? Taika Waititi.
Yes.
He came in, he directed episode 8. It was super hot.
I thought they had some majorly good moments in both episodes 8 and 7. Some great reveals, a great setup for the second season, some very cool action sequences, very funny dialogue. I feel like the show returned to the quality that we were expecting in the original couple episodes.
Yeah, so. I've heard some people refer to episode 8 as the fifth episode that matters in The Mandalorian. And I am tempted to agree with them, but for me, episode 4 is still the best in the series. I just loved the farm planet, just the dynamic we got with The Mandalorian, and we got to know a little bit more about him. But there was a little dip in 5 and 6 that we kind of talked about last time, where we were scared that the showrunners weren't going to know what to do. But I think they brought it back around for the finale. I'm happy. I'm very happy with the finale overall. There's not much really to complain about. It was pretty cool. For me, the elephant in the room, or not the elephant in the room, but the thing that I was most excited about was the Darksaber reveal at the end.
Oh, yes. That was cool.
That Moff Gideon has the Darksaber. I completely forgot that thing existed. It was hidden in my Clone Wars, repressed memories. But, I'm so excited to see how it... I've heard people complain that it looks weird. It looks fine to me.
Yeah.
It looks like a Darksaber.
Yeah, it looks like how it's supposed to look. I think that's going to be really cool. I want to know how he got it.
Yeah, well, so a little hint in the episode... When there's a flashback to his childhood and the B2 super battle droid going absolutely ham on his family, we get to see the Mandalorian clan come in and start tearing stuff up. And that clan is specifically the Vizsla clan.
Was that Death Watch?
That's Death Watch.
Gotcha.
So, for those of you that haven't watched Clone Wars all the way through yet, I looked directly at Hallie when I said that. I'm sorry. It's
My childhood was skewed.
Yeah, don't worry. We will finish that. We will do a Clone Wars episode.
It's good I'm here.
Yeah. Episode?
Yeah, screw it. I'm doing it.
Oh, I'd be so down.
I'll do it by myself if I have to. Tell us if you want that. Okay, going back. So, yeah, so Death Watch is the group that saved him. And pre-Vizsla, who was the head of Death Watch before Darth Maul absolutely wrecked his face in a 1v1 duel, had the Darksaber.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe after that, Darth Maul got a hold of the Darksaber. And then Darth Maul, I think, also got absolutely wrecked at one point as well.
Didn't Bo-Katan have it for a while?
I have no idea. Who's Bo-Katan?
I don't know. But I heard that. I saw a scene from Rebels on YouTube, and the Mandalorian girl the Mandalorian girl in Rebels had it, too.
Yeah, sure. Like, I'm sure you're right. I haven't seen Rebels. And I love you, Dave Filoni. I really do. But I can't bring myself to watch Rebels.
Yeah, me neither.
There's like three good scenes in the entire show, and then the main character, Ezra Bridger, just comes in and he's like, blah, 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 and then he just ruins everything. It's horrible.
Oh, man. I think it's cool that I think the reason probably that like they did bring the Darksaber back in is because Dave Filoni is like one of the... It's Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are running this show.
Yeah.
And so Dave Filoni's heavily involved, so it makes me happy that he's bringing back all his Clone Wars stuff, because that's like... his baby, you know?
Oh, I love it. I love it so very much. And then, yeah, so Dave Filoni's awesome, and then I found another little piece of trivia. Apparently, it was Jon Favreau solely who came up with the idea of Baby Yoda, and then other people helped him realize that. So there's no more... Stop speculating on if Disney was the one who did it so that they could sell Baby Yoda toys, because obviously they didn't, otherwise we would all have Baby Yoda plushies right now. And right. I'm still mad about that. I still... I'm shocked that Disney's marketing department wouldn't make Baby Yoda plushies before Christmas. I was going to get one, and I want to throw my money at them, but they're just not accepting it, and I feel a little angry.
Okay, so speaking of Baby Yoda, I was really hoping that Baby Yoda would be the Mandalorian's signet, you know, his emblem.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
What?
I get why it's the Mudhorn, like they're a clan of two, and they took it down, and that was very touching, but like... When she was making it, I was really hoping that it was just going to be like Baby Yoda with the little ears, and I thought, I feel like that just would have been so cute.
That would have been absolutely ridiculous.
I would have loved it, though.
That's a bounty. He kills people, and the last thing they'll see is a little child on his shoulder, all nestled
No, it doesn't have to be, like, cute, but it can be like a...
How would you make a scary-looking Baby Yoda?
Not scary, but, yeah, I don't know. Teeth? I kind of just wanted it to be Baby Yoda. I thought
he has no teeth.
Add teeth.
Does Yoda have teeth?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Yoda has teeth. I really thought it was going to be Baby Yoda.
Can we get a Baby Yoda tooth fairy? I apologize. I just
Oh, so
instead of wings, he just flies it on the ears.
So IG-11 is the coolest character in the whole show.
Yep. Shout out Taika Waititi.
Shout out to Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. That thing where he like comes up, there we get like a 5-minute. Long scene of two scout ARC troopers talking. Scout troopers. ARC is something else, right?
That's... ARC is Clone Wars.
Gotcha. Two scout troopers talking. And then he's
I'm
proud
just impressed
of
with my own knowledge.
Proud of that one. Two scout troopers chatting for like 5 minutes, and they hit Baby Yoda, and that was very rude.
They both lost. They straight up like punch him.
They smacked him.
I wanted Yoda choke him.
And then
they wheeled up.
And then IG-11. Absolutely destroys them, and he's so cool. It's just cool to see him, like, his arms spin around, and he's like, it's a little sad to me that, like, they brought together this cool squad, and I was like, happy. I was like, oh yeah, cool, this is the Mandalorian squad, like, I'm down, this is our cast. And then at the end, Mandalorian was like,
bye,
I gotta keep going, see ya. I was like, oh, because I think one of the biggest problems with the show is that it had nothing to rely on except for the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda. And when they finally decided to give him a squad, I was so happy, and then they took it away, and it's, oh, we're just going to go back to the limbo that we were in before. Yeah.
Well, which is a little sad, because actors can carry a show by themselves, and that's a thing that I believe Pedro Pascal is capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, he's behind a mask, so you can't do a lot of emotional stuff when he can't emote at all. Like, he sort of just... I know that they've been trying to do that, And it's been done well to a certain degree, but it's hard to pin the entire show on his back and then not allow him to use half of an actor's tools in order to convey emotion and story.
Yeah, I mean, people always talk about how, like, the best actors act with the eyes or with the face, or and you can't do that if you're behind a mask. Yeah.
Also, we should talk about Pedro Pascal's face, because I know that on this podcast, there's a lot of controversy over Pedro Pascal.
And the face reveal.
I think it was cool. I don't think it was showing how cute he was compared to his Mandalorian armor. I think that's just how Pedro Pascal looks, and yes, he is a hunk, and yes, you can fight me.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about Pedro Pascal's looks. For me, the face reveal didn't work because Pedro Pascal looked gross. Like, I get it. If you've been under a helmet for a while, not saying he looked gross, but if you've been under a helmet for a while, it makes sense that you're going to be sweaty. But, like, it didn't work for me so much as a, I don't know, it just feels like,
it felt forced.
It feels like they were kind of just like, okay, here's the face scene, it's happening now, like, here it is. Yeah. And I was just like, oh.
Okay,
sure, that's the face scene. I feel like it could have hit a lot harder if it was like, maybe, I'm very split about it, because on one end, I love that a droid took off his helmet, because now we're addressing the droid thing, but on the other hand, it's like, well, he didn't really have a big connection to this droid, and also, no living thing has still seen him with his helmet off. Like, we haven't really, they addressed the mask issue without actually addressing it, you know?
Which is probably the smartest way to go about it, because either you have him...
It's smart for now,
but... Well, you have him not be a Mandalorian if he takes his helmet off.
Right, but it's kind of like the knight errant, like the rogue, right?
Yes.
I kind of want that, like a code breaker.
Sure.
He not like the Last Jedi code breaker, like he broke the Mandalorian code.
It's interesting to have a character that's so devoted to a code, though, because it's sort of like the Sith really don't have that much of a code. They're just angry all the time.
Yeah, their code is we don't have a code.
And the Jedi for sure have a code, and we've seen that played around with, but we haven't seen anyone with a real morally gray code. Gray Jedi Rey is not that morally gray.
She's not gray, yeah. That's what I was like bringing up in the forgotten deleted episode. I talked about that a little bit.
But to have a character that sticks to a code that isn't all that good, I think, is an interesting choice that they're making. And it's one that they've kept consistent with. And I feel like if they did have a person reveal his face at the end of this season, they would have betrayed themselves. And the way they did it was the best workaround
for
what they could have done.
I think if they were going to do the face reveal this season, this was probably a pretty okay way of doing it. I'm just saying maybe they should have waited a little longer for it.
I agree with you.
Because, like, they already teased it in episode 4. So it's like, maybe just wait until season 2 and have it be, like, big. Maybe he gets in a fight with the guy with the darksaber and, like, he gets a darksaber slash to the face. And, like,
and
you get this
off cool
shot where, like, the helmet pieces fall and then it's like,
you
ooh.
You really thought about that.
It's like, now, no, that just, no, it's that like, would, it's yeah, like, now you messed up. Like, awesome. He broke, like, it's on now, you know?
Oh, that would be
like,
epic.
It could have just been
that would be cool.
It would have been. I feel like there's a lot of cooler ways they could have done it.
That
very
could
smart
still happen though.
Yeah, it could still happen,
but it won't be as impactful.
It could also, there's some Star Wars science that would prevent it, but
Beskar can't be broken by lightsabers and all that.
Yeah. So if he went for a direct cut, it would just split the Mando's skull in half.
Yeah.
That's the face reveal. It's just him dead.
Very.
That's just the show. It ends after season.
The contrast between Charlie's perspective and James' perspective.
I think they did a good job of covering their bases with why the mask had to be taken off, though. Like,
yeah,
because Baby Yoda can just heal him, but it's like, yeah, so we need to get Baby Yoda out of the way by having him move the fire. It's like, okay, cool. We've eliminated the Baby Yoda variable. Because I'm always very scared that Baby Yoda's going to end up being like a deus ex machina. You know, like, he comes in at the last second and saves him. Like 11.
Yeah.
But, like 11 from Stranger Things. But I think they did a good job of limiting how broken Baby Yoda can be. Like, he's only got
one hit,
and then he's done, right? It's like, okay, and they...
Yeah. Glass cannon.
Really?
What I'm excited for is if the Mandalorian's going to go find the Jedi for Yoda, we're going to see some Jedi action, possibly?
Oh, maybe we'll see, like, Luke's Academy.
Exactly. Also, I would love to see that developed on. Can someone explain to me why they don't know who the Jedi are? Because he was like, who are the Jedi? And then Armorer Lady was like, oh, they're these people. And he's like, so we're giving our the thing to an enemy? She's like, this is the way. She also makes up all of the rules on the fly.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian's like, oh, can I do this? And she's like, no. And he's like, why? And she's like, this is the way.
Yeah, I think they don't, because, I mean, I think they don't know the Jedi because there was only pretty much one Jedi for all of the original trilogy.
There was a lot of them before that.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, like, this guy wasn't an original. Din Djarin, that's his name, we learned, is a foundling, right? He didn't grow, he wasn't, he's not Mandalorian by blood, I guess. I mean, I guess if there's only one Jedi, it's probably, and this is five years later, so.
Well, okay, he should know. Like, let's say Death Watch. No, Death Watch was a thing. The battle droids were a thing. The Jedi were used heavily in that war. Oh, yeah,
the battle droids. What?
He probably definitely knew that Jedis were a thing because they would have been the hope of Mandalore. And the Jedis were heavily involved in Mandalore. Look to Clone Wars for Siege of Mandalore, the arc.
Like, oh, yeah.
That makes no sense why he doesn't know who they are.
Yeah, now that I think about it, Yeah, because they need it to...
But why? It seems like such an unnecessary... Like, it's a line.
I just want to point out that I like how they put all this stress on him needing to use training to use the jetpack, and then two scenes later, he's like he's just zooming. Yeah, he's just going off.
He's just vibing.
He's vibing. I don't think I've ever seen a TIE fighter land and it folds its wings. Yeah. Is that what they do?
You look to me. I don't know.
You seem to know everything else.
No, that's true. No, I've never seen them land because either they get blown up or it's,
I feel,
in
like
space.
When we do see them landing, they're just kind of sitting on the wings. But this time the wings like folded up, which was kind of, I think the power scaling in this show though is really interesting because like in the Star Wars movies, there's the Jedi and everything and they can take out waves of troopers in one go and fight whole fleets of ships and stuff. But in this one, it's like, oh shoot, more than five stormtroopers, like this is gonna be a problem, you know? Mm-hmm. Or it's like, oh shoot, one TIE fighter, that's a big deal.
Yeah, yikers, right?
It's like they did a good job. It's almost like, again, in Stranger Things, one Demogorgon, that's a huge thing to deal with. Like, I love it when they really take the action down to a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. It makes it a lot more intimidating to
that's
me.
That's true.
I'm waiting for an opposite to Mando. I want someone to be as good as him that reoccurs and comes back up.
Like a rival?
Yeah, like a rival. Like, you know, not a dark Mandalorian or anything like that, but like just some other bounty hunter or dude that comes back.
Yeah.
Because Gideon's sort of lame. Like,
they didn't really have any time to develop him. He's just like, guy. I know everything about all of you.
I know, he's just like, go attack them! And then while he's busy with 15 other people, I'll shoot him in the head and then explode him or whatever. And he just doesn't feel that menacing to me. And, like, even if he did have a darksaber, he's not a Jedi. So
yeah, he's just,
so like
an
how's he going to use it? Like, Mandalorian just takes out two guns and fires them at two different points.
And he's done.
And the dude's done. Like, so what's he going to do?
Yeah, I want to see more of Moff Gideon, and I really want to see more of this whole ex-Imperial kind of underworld. Because, like,
that's interesting to me.
I like it. Because,
like, the Empire's gone, but they're still very much around. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we get a little bit of, like, the roots of the First Order, even.
Yeah.
That'd be really... You're right.
I would love to see that.
Because these guys, the Rebels won the war in Return of the Jedi. How did they manage to let the Empire get back in charge again?
Right.
Because, like, I think it's really cool that we've seen some, like, Rebel municipal stuff. Like, that prison. Mm-hmm. In the prison episode, there's, like, Rebel guys running it. It's like, oh, they're the government now. They won, huh?
Yeah.
And yeah. I really want to see how on earth the Empire got back on top.
Right.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and it's just interesting to see a more realistic take on the Rebels in this, because it makes complete sense that a ragtag group of fighters wouldn't be able to police an entire galaxy.
Right.
So it's good that they have these small pockets, and you're right, I think it'd be super interesting if they show how the First Order got started, and if it does happen through the underworld, we might see Darth Maul. Han Solo tie-in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, snap. He's actually a crime lord.
Will Darth... I would be okay with Darth Maul.
Is he alive at this time?
Well, he was... Oh, shoot. I don't know.
When did he die? Wait, no. He's not dead until Obi-Wan Kenobi kills him.
In Rebels.
And Obi-Wan Kenobi was old in Rebels. So this means that we have some time. Darth Maul could very well make a comeback.
No, wait a minute. Hello? What? Rebels is before episode 4, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Rebels is before episode 4.
I've never watched Rebels.
Yeah, Rebels. Talks about no. Rebels. Dang, we got so far into that, but then we were like, wait, no, these are 4 years apart.
Yeah, just
Darth Maul is done.
He's gone. So that's sort of sad. That would have been cool. I want Boba Fett to come back. I know people. Okay, James. I know you don't want Boba Fett to come back.
I was very happy that Boba Fett did not come back. Why? But I'm equally as annoyed that they didn't follow up on who that guy at the end of episode 5 was.
Yeah.
I feel was like that was that just Gideon?
10.
Bro,
it is not him, Alfred. No, it's not. He's dead by this point. How is it Chewbacca? He was wearing shoes.
Alfred really wants his opinions heard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, what was I going to say? Oh, $10 says that guy is the opener for the second season.
Like the first scene?
The first scene.
$10. I kind of agree.
Okay.
I believe it. I just kind of don't want it to be Boba Fett because it would be cool, but at the same time, it's like, it would feel too much like a cop-out. Like, we're using the popularity of Boba Fett to make this scene cool, you know?
Right.
Mm. He is cool, but instead of making, they need to make the Mandalorian cool enough in its own right before they can drop Boba Fett in.
That's true, though. He's so dope.
We need more than 8 episodes for something like that to come out.
Fine. Fine.
And especially because it's like, Boba Fett is the staple Mandalorian, and this show is just about a Mandalorian.
Boba Fett's not a Mandalorian.
He's not technically But it would just feel too much like a, you guys want Boba Fett? Here's Boba Fett. And now you have to. Oops, I hit the table. Sorry.
That was like one rule that he just broke.
I know, but it's like, here, Boba Fett. You guys like Boba Fett? He's in the show now. Isn't that cool? It's like, you gotta earn it.
I don't know. I think it would be awesome if Boba Fett came back. I just, like, there's so much potential for legacy characters to come in and absolutely freak the fans out, and I think it'd be super, super cool.
But James is right. It has to be done delicately, because you can't overpower the Mandalorian. Yeah,
Boba Fett's sort of lame, let's be real.
Yeah, for as popular as he is, he doesn't do much in the movies.
He just gets, like, destroyed, which is why I think...
By the Sarlacc.
I think if anyone needs a redemption, it's Boba Fett. Like, I feel like opinion's sort of turning around on him a little bit. Like, people have come back, and they're seeing how cool bounty hunters can be, and then they're like, oh, Boba Fett was, like, he was taken out like a jerk.
Yeah, he didn't do much. I think I'm glad that Baby Yoda has some real utility now. I remember being concerned about that in the beginning, that there was not much that could, that he could really do. Like, we were saying how Baby Yoda needs to bring something to the table, and he does, in the form of force healing. And, I said this last time, but I need to say it again. Force healing, I think the reason that Disney released that one episode of The Mandalorian the day before Star Wars, that was the episode where force healing was used for the first time. And I think the reason they released that episode early was so that people could get used to force healing before Rise of Skywalker came out. Because force healing was a huge part of Rise of Skywalker. And people have a tendency of getting mad at how the sequel trilogy uses the Force. I know someone who has a shirt that literally says that's not how the Force works in response to sequel trilogy. I'm not gonna drag anyone on public podcasting.
If they were brave enough to wear the shirt.
My integrity is iron solid. That's not how that goes.
Iron solid.
Rock solid.
Nope. Okay.
But. Yeah, Disney was like, we have to let Baby Yoda do force healing first so that people won't get mad when Rey does it. Because people get mad when Rey does anything.
Yeah, okay. Basically.
If Rey was the first person to do a force push, people would be like, that's ridiculous. You can't push people with the force.
See, I agree with you, but in the new movie, and I have always been a person that's like, no, it makes sense that Rey could do all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. In the new movie... She's Boolin in the new movie. Like, it's insane how powerful she is. Like, nowhere before have we seen someone just grab a ship as it's flying away and, like, pull it down.
You have not played the, like, Force Unleashed video game, the best Star Wars piece of media.
Is that canon?
It's not canon anymore, but,
so your opinion is
there's this guy, there's this cool, there's this, like, level where there's a Star Destroyer, and you have to, like, pull the Star Destroyer down.
That's also ridiculous.
It's so cool, though. But you, like, awesome. You, like, die afterwards. You, like, pass out. Mm-hmm. Like,
also,
Baby Yoda.
Also, another point I would like to make, this is going into cross-media platforms. Oh my goodly goodness. In, Star Wars, Jedi Fallen Order, the main character, Cal Kestis, one of his special... And they mention this. One of his special abilities that not a lot of other people have is that he can touch objects and then, like, see the story behind them. Which is something that like, everyone in the Star Wars universe who's a Jedi can apparently do now.
Really?
Rey does. Like, she did it in
the
movie.
Oh, yeah, she does it with the dagger, huh?
Kylo Ren can do it with the mask. It just sort of feels like I'm a little scared for Star Wars because I think they're running into the power scaling problem.
Yeah, it's such a soft system.
They're making all the Jedi a little too powerful, and we'll see where it goes. Because the only way that a Jedi can really be defeated now is by another Jedi. And that was not the case in other movies and stuff like that. You would have regular people be able to take out Jedi. I mean, for God's sakes, Order 66 was a thing. All the clone troopers were able to, like, smack the Jedi around a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like...
I forgot about that. They really were just like,
yeah,
gun, and the Jedi died. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not a problem yet, and I don't think it's a problem that Rey has that ability, because I think that personally makes sense. It's just indicative of a change that's happening in Star Wars. Where
yeah, a lot of people say that Rey's a Mary Sue.
No, I disagree.
Yeah, I don't think she's a Mary Sue. She has enough flaws in the newer movies to make up for that. Mm-hmm. I think it's annoying that there are no consequences for any of her actions in Episode 9. That really started to, like, that bugged me in the theater. Like,
yeah,
she would go off and run off on her own, and I was sitting in my chair. I was like, why does she keep getting away with this? Like, why does it keep working for her?
Mm-hmm. Which is a point that James brought up in the Lost episode. That's what we're calling it now. And I hadn't considered that, and I just want to give him his time. This is the one moment, James, that you can claim victory over me.
I'm happy.
He's happy. He has it now.
You know, if all we were able to recover from that episode was that one soundbite where Charlie was like, "You're right," I think I would have been like...
It was a really good point. I was really impressed. I would have, like,
retired right then from that.
I was like, I totally hadn't considered that, and here he comes in, and I'm like...
All high and mighty.
No, not high and mighty. It was a very good point. I was very impressed. I was like, wow, I need to reconsider my look on this movie. I would now give it an 8.5. I gave it an 8.5 to a 9... when we first recorded it, and now I'm like 8.5.
It's hard. It's creeping towards 7.5 territory, going up from 7 for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still think.
How about you guys?
Yeah. Oh yeah. What's your out of 10 rating for Force Awakens?
Nope.
Oh, sorry. sorry.
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
Nope.
I mean, I have to say an 8.5 too. I really liked it coming out of the theater, but after brewing on it, as James would say, I would have to give it an 8.5.
Because
it was very strong, but it did have a little bit of flaws.
Yeah.
Enough that made me agitated enough.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
To drop it at some points.
Yeah, I would agree. 8.5.
8.5 strong.
It's just like, it's a really good movie. And the fact that it just made me so, so happy.
Yeah, it wrapped everything up very nicely.
But it wasn't, it's not like upwards of like a 9 or a 10 because of like the plot holes and like the plot being a little, like the structure.
It was very, a little rushed, but I mean, I understand. They didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everyone who's listening to this podcast, watch it a second time. It really changes the film. Like, it really changes the film.
And I mean, I think it's hard for anyone to make an original plot like this to wrap up such an incredible saga. Like,
yeah,
with stuff like Harry Potter, I mean, the blueprints for how you're going to end it have already been written in the form of a book. You're just putting that on the screen. But Star Wars, like, that's all J.J. Abrams and the team and Rian Johnson had to sit down and think, like, how do we tie this all up? Like, they had no guide to look to.
Yeah,
it's a little less impressive considering that Infinity War was a thing that happened. And I think I'm pretty sure you guys all said this in the Lost podcast, sorry, that this movie took heavy inspiration from Infinity War in tying up everything.
Yeah, or more Endgame, I guess.
Endgame. Sorry, I meant Endgame. I consider them a part of the same duo thing.
They're kind of the same. Yeah, yeah, they're one movie.
So when I say Infinity War, I mean Endgame. And just don't think too hard about it.
Right.
So in Endgame, they had to do that, but they had more movies to tie up than Star Wars did. So I think that although it was very hard for them to tie this all up, they could have done it, and I think they did the best that they could have. And I'm very proud of the final product. I think they did it very well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an insurmountable task.
No, yeah, it was doable. And what I really want to see is how Rian Johnson would have made Episode 9.
Better.
Yeah.
Better.
Oh. Probably.
He's making his own trilogy. I'm so hyped.
He is?
It's not confirmed.
No, it is confirmed.
10, 11, 12? Sure? Or a separate trilogy?
Not 10, 11, 12. Reported to be outside of any stories we've seen so far. Which makes me hope it's Old Republic.
Oh.
Republic.
Keanu Reeves as Darth Revan?
Yes.
Anything with Keanu, please.
But like... Yeah, could a better job have been done? I mean, yeah, probably, but they could have done a lot worse.
No,
on episode 9.
They did a fantastic job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the problems that we have, although probably major in any other movie and would definitely sort of spoil our look at that, this is Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
Although this has a higher standard to live up to, it also gets a lot of passes for the emotional weight that it carries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, although I would probably, if I was grading this movie solely structurally, give it a bad grade. Emotionally, this thing was insanely good, and I really felt every beat of it.
It becomes, if you look at it as its own standalone movie, the problems become very clear, but when you consider it in the context of all of Star Wars, it becomes a lot better, and it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Which I feel like you have to, right?
Oh, yeah. You can't watch this movie with no prior Star Wars experience, and you'll probably not like it if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you had something to say, Casey?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to piggyback off of, like, the emotional, like, heftiness, the weight, especially in the last, like, scene where where Rey's connecting to all of the Jedi and you hear all of their voices.
Yeah.
That scene, when I wasn't crying, but, like,
emotion.
I was emotional because I was sitting... like, in a very, like, interactive theater. So the people that were sitting behind me, like, they were gasping. Like, they could recognize, all of the voices.
I definitely heard Anakin loud and clear talk about bringing a balance to the Force, like he did, to quote. And I heard that, and I chuckled. Because it's like, dude, you kind of messed stuff up a little bit. Maybe a slight misstep in becoming Darth Vader.
He's
like, bring balance to the Force like I did. Ahsoka was one of the voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Super.
So was Sam Jackson. From Rebels. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it.
Kanan? I always say Kanan.
Kanan, sure. I just saw two A's at the end and I was like, how?
I said it in the last episode and I'll say it now. Ahsoka is a cooler version of Rey. And I stand by my opinion on that.
And I'll say it now. Ahsoka wouldn't work without Anakin. But
yeah, these points don't make as much sense without the context of the last episode. I still feel really bad about that.
I will bring up a new point.
A new point.
Yeah, new point.
A new point. I think the reason why this movie was so heavy is because Star Wars is all about stories. So I feel like this new trilogy, I think, is just another story. And we all have our own perspectives towards the different stories of Star Wars. But overall, the weight of Star Wars comes from the different stories.
Yeah, there's
so
a bunch
the
of
new
different...
trilogy as just another extension of that, and we have new directors with new perspectives coming in and giving their story to the trilogy.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, when you put it like Star Wars isn't
set.
Like,
it's multiple things.
There's an overarching story, but there are so many little like moving parts through it all.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is why I think Last Jedi was such a good movie.
Because
it was a fresh take, a new story.
Yes, Episode 9 to me justified Last Jedi's existence. Like, it made me go back and... Episode 9 to me was very a very by-the-books Star Wars, and it just made me appreciate how daring The Last Jedi was so much more. I thought back to The Last Jedi, and I was like, wow, those were some really cool ideas. I wonder how Rian Johnson would have developed those. But I see why for the last movie of the series, you have to go back to basics.
Like, for sure.
Yeah.
Now was not the time to get creative. Now was the time to end Star Wars traditionally.
All of them work together. It was a good I think a really good trilogy. And I think probably the most consistent one out of the three we've had.
Yeah.
Because prequels suck and will always suck. And I'm not going to be here for the people who unironically like them. They're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. The original trilogy is very good, right? The first two movies are great. The last one, not really the best. And there are Star Wars fans that will tell you that. It's a pretty boring and long film. It has some unnecessary scenes, and it also has some really great scenes. It's a pretty good, like, it's probably the most 6 out of 10 Star Wars you'll ever see, right? And that's me putting the prequels below a 5, because they're all bad. But this new trilogy, I think I consistently enjoyed each movie fairly well. I didn't feel like any of them were boring or had unnecessary scenes, and all of them had their own star moments.
Yeah, I think I can safely say, though, that Force Awakens was my favorite of the trilogy, honestly.
Really?
I rewatched Last Jedi and Force Awakens recently, and Force Awakens to me just, like, I had problems with Last Jedi, I had problems with Rise of Skywalker. Force Awakens was just the one that, like, I didn't really have any gripes about it. I was just like, yeah, this is some solid... It felt like a very... It was fresh enough to be interesting, but also Star Wars-y enough to make me love it.
For sure.
Like, to me, Force Awakens was just like, this is just like a purely good Star Wars movie. I feel Force Awakens hard. That's my go-to from the new trilogy. And I think this sequel trilogy is going to be... I think it'll have some... There'll be very controversial opinions about it going down in the future. Because it's so... I mean, you can't switch directors in the... We talked about this, but it's so hard to switch directors in the middle of a project like this trilogy and then switch back. Like, that's just... I can't even imagine if I... It's like if you were working on an essay for some reason with three different people and you write the introduction, someone else writes the body paragraphs, and now it's like, okay... Go ahead and write a conclusion. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's very... No, that's a great...
It's like, how do I tie this together with none of these ideas that I came up with, you know?
Right, yeah.
Super good analysis of it. Again, you're doing great, James.
Oh, I'm trying. I have to make up for deleting an entire episode. I still can't believe that happened.
Guys, he was on the verge of tears when it happened. I just want to run down the situation. We had just finished... this wonderful, wonderful podcast where we had, you know, we had some good banter, we had some good analysis and explanation, and then we're all just sort of sitting there talking, and then we hear James go, "No!" And we all look at him, and there's silence for 20 seconds. James has his head in his hands, his face is red, we don't know what's happening, and we're all like, James, what happened, James? And we see his glasses are on his head. He is in despair, and then we just hear a whimper behind his hands. We hear, I wiped the SD card. And we all at the same time went, what?
Yeah. Hey, look, this is our first day with our new and improved 2020 audio setup. We run in 4 Audio Technica letters and number microphones into a Zoom H6 handy recorder. We got professional. And I did not get professional.
James, it's not the...
I must go into exile.
It's a joke.
I have to capture the avatar.
All right, Zuko. But speaking of Zuko...
We talked about Zuko so much in the... We talked about the Avatar Last Airbender series a lot. We're experimenting a little bit with, audio setups, but also episode lengths. We're gonna try making these a little bit shorter form. So we're rocking at a solid 40 minutes right now. Does anyone else have anything to say?
No, yeah. I think we covered both of them fairly well. I don't know, maybe just a final comparison. And let's take a moment to consider this. Which one do you think is more basely Star Wars-y? The Mandalorian or Star Wars Episode 9? Which one do you think pays the most honor to the original trilogy and what it set up?
That's so... Which one is more Star Wars-y? Heavy. Mandalorian. Yeah. Which one pays tribute to the original trilogy? Episode 9. Episode 9 is a completely, like, every 5 minutes, it's like, you know, here's Lando, here's, you know? But I feel like Mandalorian gives me more of the Star Wars-y feeling, so I'm gonna go with Mandalorian.
I'm going to go with Mandalorian, too. Okay. Rise of Skywalker pertained more to the legacy of Star Wars, but I feel Mandalorian kind of branches off into the story of Star Wars.
Right.
And kind of, you know, the in-betweens. Mm-hmm. More. For sure. Rise of Skywalker was just very dense and character-heavy, but Mandalorian kind of hits the spirit of Star Wars more.
Right, I agree. Casey?
I'm distressed.
Make a decision, Casey. No centrism.
3, 2...
One. Okay, episode 9.
Episode 9. Now, don't be sorry. It's your opinion. Freedom of speech. Subjective.
Yeah, no, that's not, like... I think the question is, what's the spirit of Star Wars? And to me, the one thing that Star Wars does better than any other movie is it creates worlds. And Hallie said this, it creates stories. And in every nook and cranny of... That's a new term. I'm going to use it. Every Gravity nook and cranny of the Star Wars universe, you will find life there. And if we're comparing which movie feels more alive as a world and which one whisks you away to another universe, I would say Mandalorian.
Right, yeah, I feel that.
Mandalorian, it gives you tiny stories, it gives you diverse worlds, and it's a very, very good show. And I think that's a great place to leave it off on. Thank you guys so much for watching the podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Music, iTunes.
Yeah.
Find us everywhere.
Yeah. Instagram. YouTube, Instagram, Socratic_cinema. Thank you guys so much for watching these. You've been very supportive.
Spread the word.
We love
spread
you.
The
hot
word.
Takes, hot movies, hot people. Socratic Cinema.
Adios.